We, of course, have been following the story, the developments, and now the discussion around the July insurrection. Well, was it an insurrection? Were they riots? What were they? An amazing, amazing new book called 8 Days in July, written in collaboration between Kenita Hunter, Kavil Singh, and Jeff Wicks, tries to unpick all of this. What a mammoth task it must have been. Kenita, good morning. Kenita Hunter, political editor at News 24. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me.
It's really a great pleasure. The speed at which this book was put together, edited, published, and on our shelves is incredible. How intense was this process?
It was punishing, Howard. It was, we decided very soon after the unrest that you'd know that News 24, was at the forefront of it, and we were writing stories, almost 24-hour coverage at some point during the unrest. And we realized that a lot of information was being lost, and we needed to answer three very important questions. What happened, why it happened, and how was it allowed to happen? And so in that, when we had decided that we had to write this book, we were told that for it to be effective and for it to have the impact that we needed to have, the book would have to come out quite soon, considering the fact that it's also a moving, target in the sense that there's so many things still happening. And we spent all of April, you would see that this book is not just a stitching together of news events. We had to investigate, we had to corroborate hundreds and hundreds of documents that were leaked to us, we had to conduct interviews. So suffice to say, there was not a lot of sleep hours.
I would imagine. And the interesting thing about the book is it does have a very immediate feel. You could feel, it's almost as though, well, it has just happened, really, especially if we look at, context and history. A few months is absolutely nothing. But the book does have that feel. It does have a feeling that this is all unfolding so quickly, even if there was there were signs already 2 months prior to these events. It was very, very immediate. And that does come across in the book, which makes it very interesting from that perspective.
The thing about South Africans, Howard, is that we have this sort of amnesia because we, and I suppose it's almost like a survival mechanism or coping mechanism, where we go from crisis to crisis, from scandal to scandal, because so much is happening and we forget the real extent of what unfolds. What happened in July was unprecedented in our democracy, and so it was very important to give you the full 360 picture, almost from a bird's eye view. So not only telling you what is happening in terms of the violence, also telling you what is happening behind the scenes in terms of the politics, and then also giving you a glimpse into the security cluster.
To a large extent, we don't really land up settled by the end of the book, do we? There are still a lot of questions. We might know, obviously, a lot more information because there's a tremendous amount of information, some of which was quite horrific. Actually, the extent to which maybe President Cyril Ramaphosa knew about, was forewarned, we don't know if he actually did or didn't read the documents. But there still are a lot of questions that I guess will always remain unanswered.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's important about the book is to for people, for ordinary people, to start asking those questions, being armed with all of this information now and this understanding that it was sort of a myriad of failures, that that it was a multiplicity of scenarios that led to this combustion that we saw. That it was not, it was, yes, it was politics, but also it was organized crime. And how was it organized crime? And, yes, there was a failure in the security cluster, but what led to this? Trying to give meaning to what happened so that people can ask, okay, why are people not successfully prosecuted? And we mention in the book about the hollowing out of the criminal justice
system. Absolutely.
You can ask about why politicians involved have not faced the boot. And, you know, we explain, you know, the political juggling act that the president opts to employ. And so yes, I think that the whole aim of this book is for more questions to emerge, for people to really put those in power under the microscope, particularly because there is no guarantee that it will not happen again.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the danger of what could have been is also very, very prominent in the book, that where this could still have gone.
Which points to something very important, is that if the intelligence briefs and the notes from the mass joints, etc., are to be believed, that it could have been far, far worse, and we depict that in many ways, then how come there hasn't been some real arrests of, you know, top-tier instigators and you know, obviously, if it was going to go as bad as, you know, attacks on the ports and attacks on the JSC, I mean, we speak about that Toyota plant. Yeah. There ought to be, you know, some real, treason or terrorism cases that we see. Not what we already see, these sort of low-level ones. But I think that points to the complete failure holistically. Now, you would tell that there's you know, currently an inquiry by the South African Human Rights Commission, which is absolutely important.
Absolutely.
If not for it to not bring any real consequences, but for it to be a cathartic kind of, you know, for people to share what they, because, I mean, the trauma of this will live for very long.
Well, that was
the inquiry by Professor Sandy Africa set up by the president and the team of three who are looking at the failures of the security cluster. That report cannot be understated. That's something that will give us a lot of answers, hopefully, if done adequately and if the president actually releases it to the public. And that's very important. And the third thing is to follow through on the prosecutions, and we saw the National Director of Public Prosecutions, Shamila Batory, going to Parliament and says, you know, if we don't have effective prosecutions, you're going to see a repeat of history. The thing is, we are not seeing effective prosecutions, and justice must not only be done, but it must be seen to be done.
To be done, absolutely right. The process of writing a book with three people, and especially such an urgent book, how did that go?
Yeah, so it was a fascinating one, Howard, because Kavil Singh is our, the reporter in KZN, Jeff Wicks is the investigative reporter at News 24 in Johannesburg. We had worked together previously at the Sunday Times, and I was the politics editor. I was not on the ground, per se, you know, like I was not in the violence. My role was, you know,
was
a lot of
it all
the
together,
investigations,
yeah.
a lot of the politics. And what was really nice is we came to the table with three very distinct strengths. You know, what Jeff had about his experience in Hillbrow and so forth. Kavil had, you know, from his experience, you know, flying over KZN, and seeing the mayhem firsthand. I, on the other hand, you know, was speaking to defense generals and intelligence officials and, you know, politicians and trying to get a sense day by day of what was going on. So that's coming together was really complemented each other, so that we were able to tell a very complete picture. And that was something that I feared going into writing this book, is that you don't want to tell a story just from, you know, what you saw right in front of you, because the story is never what just happens in front of you, you know. And then if you just tell what is happening behind the scenes, how do people reconcile that with what they were experiencing and living and that kind of thing? And the other thing I worried about a little bit was just the voice. And I think from you know, putting three authors who have very distinct voices together.
That I find fascinating. That to me, or maybe because I write, that to me is such a fascinating thing, because all three of, you know, people do have different voices.
And I hope, you know, because we worked really hard at that, to get that cohesive.
I felt it was cohesive. That's why I was fascinated by how it worked.
Yeah, and what was really nice about this process is that while we all did writing, it was very equitable in many ways, you know, there was almost a sense of gave Anna handling this chapter in terms of the prodding and going through documents and that kind of thing, then you know, you working in analysis, or if I'm working in analysis, you were doing this. And so that was really, it was fascinating. I think also the adrenaline of the deadline.
I'm sure that must have helped. Absolutely. There's no doubt, Kanita Hunter, we don't have more time. Unfortunately, I can talk to you for hours about this. Go and get the book. It is at Exclusive Books. Kanita, I imagine it's everywhere right now. I mean, I know it's doing incredibly well. It is a phenomenal read, and I think it's actually a very important read. Linda Warren saying, grand project, that book. I have to read it. It's always better than getting the story through social media. Well done to all who participated. Absolutely right. Thank you, Kanita, for taking the time to speak to us, and well done on what I think is an amazing work. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.